by everything that I'm too afraid to do anything. The hedgehog flops over and lays in the snow and looks up at the sky, letting the snowflakes fall all over. I can't even appreciate any other art anymore because I am too sad that it will always be better than anything I will ever make. Together, Jomny and the hedgehog watch as the snow fills the sky, covers the ground, and becomes the entire world. If art is supposed to inspire, then why does it make me feel like an empty room? The hedgehog says softly, amidst the snowflakes. They sit and watch the snow until eventually, and without warning, the falling snow just simply stops. Jomny spots a large pile of sticks emerging from under the snow, then sees the beaver eyeing it anxiously. Your pile of sticks is very big now, notes Jomny. Congratulations. Are you done?
Done, says the beaver, taken by surprise.
No, now I have to build the damn thing.
Jomny takes some sticks from the pile as a souvenir.
Jomny finds the dog sitting in the snow. Hello, I brought you something, Jomny says to the dog.
This is stick.
Jomny shows the dog a small stick. The dog's tail starts wagging happily.
This is branch, says Jomny, taking out a bigger stick. It's made of sticks.
The dog's tail wags faster and faster. Jomny leads the dog to the tree.
This is tree, Jomny says. It makes sticks.
At this, the dog's tail starts wagging so intensely, around and around, faster and faster, that it starts to lift the dog off the ground and into the air. The dog looks up to the clouds and starts flying, up, up, and away.
Oh no, where are you going?
Jomny shouts to the dog as the dog flies higher and higher into the sky.
Wow, a real-life up dog, says the tree to no one in particular.
Up in the sky, away from anybody else to talk to, the dog starts to think. I am always happy, but then it saddens me that I can never express how happy I am in words so others understand. The dog flies higher and higher through the sky.
I think about all those who I love, thinks the dog. If I can never express how happy I am to see those who I love, can I ever truly be happy?
The dog's tail whirs.
Can I ever be truly happy if I am alone in my happiness?
Back on the ground, Jomny and the tree watch as the dog flies through the clouds, emitting hearts through the sky, looking peaceful and full of joy the entire time.
I wish I was like that, sighs the tree. Always so happy.
Yeah, nods Jomny, agreeing with the tree. Jomny sees that the big pond has completely frozen over. The hedgehog has found a spot in the snow near the edge of the pond and is clumping the snow together in abstract lumps, unsatisfied by the snow as a sculpting material. One of the most frustrating things about being creative is that the more you care about something, the harder it is to do, says the hedgehog, when the otter glides by across the top of the frozen pond, twirling gracefully.
Creativity needs constraints, my dear.
When the constraints get tighter, you will find more opportunities to be creative. The otter leaps through the air, spinning a dozen times, and lands perfectly, then glides away. Jomny finds the snow easy and fun to play with, and after a short period of time has sculpted a perfect cube.
What about this?
Jomny says, showing the perfect cube to the hedgehog. The hedgehog looks at Jomny's snow cube and immediately gives up.
I suck. I am crap. The hedgehog smiles blankly.
In the distance, the otter lands another magnificent twirling jump perfectly. Jomny comes across the owl hopping through the snow.
I'm trying to be a wiser owl, but the more I learn about the world, the bigger it seems and the smaller I feel, says the owl.
Why don't you just do what makes you happy? Jomny asks as the owl hops by.
I can't decide if learning things makes me happy or if knowing things makes me happy, says the owl.
Either way, I would be sad if I knew everything and I would be sad if I knew nothing. The owl hops away. Jomny watches the owl leave and realizes suddenly that nothing is nearby and that nothing heard what the owl said.
Nothing sighs.
But why would knowing me make anybody sad? Ponders Nothing. I am quite pleasant once you get to know me. Jomny tries to comfort Nothing, but isn't really sure where to look.
I'm sorry, nothing, Jomny says, settling on staring at a patch of empty space. Maybe you are just harder to get to know because you're only around when others are not. Jomny walks with nothing for a while and then sits next to the tree. The tree looks out at a lone bird, in the snow, singing quietly to itself. After a moment, the tree speaks. I've been wondering why the lonely ones make the most beautiful music, and I think it's because they're the ones most invested in filling the silence. Jomny listens to the bird's song. I love lentils, sings the bird. Jomny walks away from the tree and looks up. Nothing is there again and heard what the tree said. But why does silence need to be filled at all? Asks Nothing. I love silence. It is my favorite music. Jomny walks next to Nothing for a little bit, trying to listen to the silence, and then says, I don't know, Nothing. I guess sometimes it is difficult to hear. Nothing nods, though Jomny does not see this. Jomny and Nothing spot Melon the bear. The bear looks worried. Whenever I wake up from my naps, everything is usually gone. The whole world changes, the bear says, afraid to go to sleep for the winter. Mel rubs the bear's back reassuringly. Please don't worry, says Mel. I will still be here. Nothing will disappear. Mel and the bear walk away, and Nothing considers what Mel had said. Oh, maybe I should disappear, says Nothing, with a sad, low vibration that shakes the earth. I do not think anybody here needs me. I'm going to leave. No, don't leave. Don't be sad, shouts Jomny, trying to make Nothing feel better. I'm sorry. I cannot. For the first time, I feel empty. I'm going to go enjoy my sadness somewhere else, by myself, says Nothing. Then, after a long silence, goodbye. Nothing vanishes, and in an instant, the entire world changes. Suddenly, wherever Nothing was before, something has filled the space. Jomny is squished up against every human and everything that has ever existed on the entire Earth, in the entire universe. Every empty space has been filled up completely. Everywhere Jomny looks, there is something. Mel is stuffed up against the spaceship, a large cloud, and the hedgehog. Two of Jomny's alien colleagues cling to Mel's arm, looking disgruntled. Elsewhere, the turtle is pressed up against the bear. The bear is asleep, but the turtle is still afraid. In a distant corner, an acorn is pressed up against the entire planet Earth. Regardless of where they are or who they find themselves squished up against, one thing is for certain. Everyone is shocked and terrified and confused, not knowing at all what happened. It is complete and utter chaos. Slowly, they all begin to realize. A whisper goes through the crowd, turning into alarmed, incoherent chatter, then turning into full-on shouting. Nothing disappeared, one corner of the crowd shouts. We need Nothing, another section of the crowd shouts back. Suddenly, everyone looks at each other. We all love Nothing, chants the crowd. Nothing matters, shouts everybody. Slowly, a hole appears, filled with Nothing. It is tiny at first, but it gradually gets bigger and bigger as it makes its way through the crowd. Evidently, the shouting was loud enough that Nothing heard it, from wherever Nothing retreated to. Wow, you really like me, says Nothing happily, without making a sound. Okay, I will come back now. Everybody cheers. Everyone finds themselves on the ground again. Nothing has taken up space in the sky, on the earth, and all around and in between everyone and everything. Everyone starts walking away, flying away, floating away, relieved that Nothing has returned and that the world is back in order. Wait, where is everybody going? Asks Nothing, suddenly sad again, feeling unheard and unseen. But Jomny hears Nothing. And the snail, gently scooching along, does too. The snail looks up at Nothing and smiles. The truth is, we all achieve greatness. The only difference is the size of our audiences, the snail says. Oh, says Nothing. Then, after a long silence, thank you. Nothing takes its place dutifully, finally assured of its purpose in the balance of the universe. Jomny comes across the beaver again, and notices that the beaver's pile of sticks has a door on it now. The beaver is distraught. I thought that finishing this dam house would make me feel happy, but it doesn't feel like a home to me. Oh well, says the beaver. Sorry. On to the next one. Jomny sees the egg and the frog and the flying caterpillar all gathered around in the snow. For the first time, the egg looks at peace. I've decided that I am a frog now. I may be a very strange frog, but I am a frog nonetheless, says the egg. Okay, hello frog, says Jomny to the frog formerly known as the egg. The flying caterpillar lands on the new frog supportively, while the frog's hand rests on the new frog's shoulder. I was so worried about what I would become in the future that I didn't realize I can be anything I want to be right now, the new frog says, very quietly and very happily. Jomny continues walking and sees a giant shape, larger than anything else Jomny had seen on Earth, even larger than Mel. Jomny gets closer and sees that it's an enormous snowball. From behind the snowball, the hedgehog waves excitedly. I kept trying and trying, and now look! Look what I made! I made a thing! I did it! Look! Shouts the hedgehog. Jomny regards the giant snowball. It is beautiful, nods Jomny. It is your art. It is very art. The hedgehog continues rolling the snowball. The owl hops in front of Jomny's path again, this time looking even more distraught and confused than ever before. The more you learn about the world, the more things you need a home to be in order to call it a home, says the owl, all in a flutter. I guess it's impossible to understand the meaning of home until a place you called home loses its meaning, the owl muses. But you will always have your home, Jomny says to the owl, thinking about all the times Jomny saw the owl sitting on the tree's branches. Oh, well, no, says the owl delicately. My home is gone. Jomny looks at the owl, searching for what the owl means by this. It's right then that the beaver interrupts, having heard their conversation. If you don't have a home, just build one, says the beaver, carrying what looks suspiciously to Jomny like a severed-off section of the tree's trunk. Jomny stares at the beaver in shock. There's a long silence and an even longer stillness. What? The beaver says. This breaks the silence as Jomny starts running past the owl, past the beaver, and towards one specific and lovely human friend. Where are you going? Shouts the owl, rushing to follow Jomny as the beaver stares down at the piece of wood it's carrying and realizes, in horror, what it actually is. Jomny approaches the clearing where the tree lives, but instead of the tree, standing tall, with a head full of tangled branches reaching high in all directions, there is, well, there is only a short, squat stump. The stump does not move, does not talk, does not do anything at all, and neither, for a long while, does Jomny. The owl catches up and sees what is left of the tree, Jomny's once dear friend and the owl's once only home. Birds and bees start to fly in, gathering around the stump, word of what happened to the tree already spreading far and wide across all the humans on Earth. The owl, with wings clasped, looks at the sky and tries to come up with something to say. If a tree falls in a forest and nobody hears it, the owl says tentatively, perhaps the tree wanted to fall simply to fall, and not to show itself falling. Jomny sits down next to the stump, and the owl follows. The bees and the birds who have gathered sit down too, nestled mournfully in the snow. The harder it is to say goodbye to somebody, says Jomny, the words seeming to fall out all at once. The luckier you are to have met somebody you're going to miss. Then, Jomny feels movement. All of a sudden, the stump comes gasping to life, sending all the birds and the bees and the owl into the air in alarm. Perhaps the only thing sadder than saying goodbye to a friend, gasps the stump, is knowing that they will never be the same as who you remember them to be. Jomny gets up and looks at the stump. The stump smiles back. Jomny recognizes the tree in this smile and hugs the stump tightly. The tree stump hugs back as best as possible, leaning into Jomny's embrace. In the distance, over the tree stump's shoulder, Jomny sees that the spaceship has appeared in a far corner of the sky, coming for what must be the last time, and this time, Jomny must go with it. I have to leave soon. I will miss you, Jomny says to the tree stump. We will always be with you. We internalize traits we observe in others as a way to honor and remember them. We are all living memorials. the tree stump assures Jomny. Meanwhile, some bees and birds have gathered to watch the spaceship get closer. A new human arrives too. It's another owl.
Oh, hi, you're another owl, says the owl that Jomny knows.
Wow, you think I'm an owl? Says the new owl.
To be honest, I don't feel wise enough to be an owl.
Me too, says the first owl.
Oh, wow, says the new owl. Maybe we're both owls then.
The two owls nod in agreement, happy to have found another owl who feels the same way.
As the spaceship gets closer, more humans gather to watch it.
Spaceship. S-P-A-U-F-O, says one particular bee. Jomny looks at all the humans and realizes this may be the only chance there is to warn them about their planet.
What's wrong? The tree stump asks.
With the tree stump's permission, Jomny stands on top of the tree stump's head to get everyone's attention.
I can't keep it a secret anymore, Jomny shouts, alarming everybody. Did you know that Earth is dying? And I have to leave, and I'm going to leave you all behind, and you're all going to die? I'm sorry.
Jomny sighs heavily.
That's okay, says the snail.
We all already know that we are going to die one day. And as for Earth, well, I suppose it's always dying. But so are all of us, and so is everything. So it's okay.
The spaceship gets closer.
But aren't you worried about dying? Asks Jomny.
Oh, all the time, says the snail.
But that's okay. I got you a going-away gift. Can I show it to you?
Jomny steps off the tree stump's head and follows the snail away from the crowd and into a clearing of fresh snow. In the middle of the snow, there is something bright and colorful that Jomny has never, ever seen before.
The snail stands next to Jomny and says, Look, life is bad. Everyone's sad. We're all gonna die. But I already bought this inflatable bouncy castle, so are you gonna take your shoes off or what?
Jomny looks at the snail. The snail looks at Jomny. Jomny looks at the inflatable bouncy castle.
In seconds, Jomny's shoes are off and thrown in the snow, and Jomny and the snail race into the bouncy castle. Jomny and the snail fly through the air in wonder, sharing one brief, shining, lasting moment of happiness together before the spaceship lands.
Jomny hugs the snail and heads back to the tree stump, and back to where all the humans have gathered, and back to where the spaceship gets closer and closer to Earth.
I have to leave now, Jomny says to the tree stump sadly. But remember that you are very lucky, the tree stump says back.
You also get to leave.
Right before the spaceship lands, the hedgehog runs up to Jomny, holding up a small snowball, a miniature replica of the giant snowball that Jomny called a art.
I made you a gift, says the hedgehog. I want you to have this snowball, to remember us by.
Jomny smiles. It looks just like Earth, the alien says. The hedgehog looks at the snowball, confused.
It does? Asks the hedgehog.
And Jomny realizes in this moment that none of the humans have ever seen what the Earth looks like from afar.
Finally, the sky turns to night, and the night becomes filled with stars. The spaceship has landed.
Jomny climbs onto the tree stump, still holding the hedgehog's snowball, as all the humans that Jomny befriended gather around. Even Nothing has gathered, taking up an empty space at the edge of the crowd. The aliens all pile out, two by two, to come take Jomny away.
I get to go home today, Jomny says, looking across the crowd of humans.
Thank you, humans, for teaching me what it is like to be a human. I learned a lot. Goodbye.
There is a silence.
A long, awkward silence as everyone gathered looks at each other. The frog, formerly known as Egg, looks at the flying caterpillar. The snail looks at the turtle. The beaver looks at the hedgehog. Nothing looks at them all. Finally, the frog breaks the silence.
Wait, the frog says, trying to be as gentle as possible. We are not humans.
None of us are humans, my dear, says the otter, kindly.
Mel chimes in. All the humans died a long time ago, Mel says helpfully.
Jomny looks down, the snowball suddenly feeling very heavy in Jomny's hands.
Oh. So you're all aliens? Asks Jomny, as the real aliens place their heads in their hands in frustration.
Well, says the frog, formerly known as the egg, I suppose everyone's an alien when you're an alien too.
Jomny steps off the tree stump and meekly approaches the aliens who assigned Jomny the Earth mission to begin with.
"I have failed my mission wronger than I thought I could," admits Jomny. "I did not learn a thing about being human.
Let's go home." Jomny sighs and starts walking toward the spaceship.
"Why isn't Jomny wearing any shoes?" mutters one alien to another as they pile two by two back into the spaceship, leaving Jomny to get in last.
Behind Jomny, all the animals and creatures of Earth gather closer together under the bright twinkling starry sky, talking to each other, hugging, laughing, and happily making conversation. It has been a long time since all the Earth creatures all gathered together to see each other, and they all have one small alien to thank for it. Jomny turns around to have one last look at all the Earth creatures and is filled with happiness. The alien does not want to make them sad again by reminding them that the spaceship is leaving, and instead takes this opportunity to remember them in this moment one last time.
"Goodbye," Jomny whispers quietly, not letting any of them hear it. And with that, Jomny turns around and climbs into the spaceship. The spaceship takes off, and Jomny goes home, leaving behind the only place that the alien ever truly belonged.
Activity log, Earth mission of Jomny's days on Earth. Day 1. I have been assigned to meet humans. I am nervous. What is a human? Day 2. I have met my first human. This human calls itself Tree. This is fun. Day 3. Being small does not mean the same thing as being insignificant. Day 4. Humans are afraid of big things. Day 6. I want to know what heart symbol is. Day 8. Is it possible to be excited about who you will become if you do not know who you already are? Day 9. Humans have many names. This human calls itself an introvert. An introvert is a human that is confusing. Day 10. Our tours do not like it when you say their names wrong. Day 12. Humans are very concerned about who they will become instead of who they are. Day 14. Words are like gifts you don't have to give away. Day 15. I met a friend who used to be very old. Day 16. I met a friend who used to be very young. Day 17. Sometimes you only get to meet a friend once in your life, but they will still always be your friend. Day 19. A human is just a small, sad thing covered in many layers. Day 21. When you are worried about who you are supposed to be, you never get to learn who you are. Day 24. To be or not to be friends? That is the question. I want to be friends. Day 25. A stressed human helps nobody, not even themselves. Day 27. If you don't know who you are, you will never be happy with who you are going to become. Day 28. What is heart symbol? Day 29. Oh, I have been told that I am failing my mission. Day 30. The humans have discovered religion. Day 32. It sounds like art is a form of lying that makes humans feel good? Day 33. It appears that some humans like being busy more than they like being friends. Day 34. I do not know what a city is, but it appears to make humans grumpy. Day 36. Humans like to pretend to be things they are not, and I do not know why they like to do that, because then it makes them sad. Day 37. I have never seen a chameleon in real life, and I don't know if that means I haven't or I have. Day 38. Working with yourself is always the most difficult collaboration. Day 40. Treat every day on Earth as if it's your last day on Earth, because it is, until you spend another day on Earth. Day 42. Sometimes a caterpillar will be too excited to become a butterfly that it comes out of its cocoon too early. Day 44. Humans express their love in alarming ways. Day 45. Humans aren't afraid of aliens. They are afraid of things that are different. Day 47. A dream is an art that your brain makes to entertain itself while you are asleep.
Day 48. What happens after we die?
Day 49. Nothing happens after you die.
Day 50.
I am sad today.
Day 53.
What is art? Is talking art?
Day 55. Sometimes a caterpillar spends exactly the right amount of time in its cocoon that it becomes a butterfly.
Day 57.
When you appreciate nature, nature appreciates you. I love walking.
Day 58. Sometimes the most perfect home is made out of the space between two hands.
Day 60.
Sometimes the greatest house is one where there are no walls.
Day 61.
Beauty is in the eye of the bee.
Day 63.
I have never seen a fish.
Day 65.
A friend seems like a nice thing, and one day I hope to have one.
Day 66.
For some reason, the humans are confused by science.
Day 68.
It is important to be yourself even if you don't know what you are doing.
Day 70.
What's heart symbol got to do with it?
Day 71.
I am thankful for sadness.
Day 72.
I am thankful that I am here at all.
Day 74.
Nothing makes me happy. The earth is dying. How are humans able to be happy when the earth is dying?
Day 75.
I have just been informed that the earth is not dying.
Day 77.
Sometimes feeling like an empty room is what inspires you to fill it.
Day 79.
If your job is to collect sticks, how would you ever know when you have collected enough sticks?
Day 82.
Wow, humans who are always happy probably have never ever been sad. How lucky!
Day 85.
Being creative is harder when it is easier.
Day 88.
Sometimes humans are sad about nothing.
Day 89.
The humans do not realize that nothing is beautiful.
Day 90.
When nothing changes, everything changes.
Day 91.
Nothing really matters, even if nobody knows it.
Day 93.
Humans put too much pressure on their own damn work to make them happy.
Day 95.
If you are true to yourself, you will always become yourself.
Day 96.
If you are true to your art, it will always be art.
Day 98.
If you are true to others, you will always become a home.
Day 99.
Happiness is accepting that sadness will always exist, and then deciding to be happy anyway.
Day 100.
The best gifts are not things you give to somebody, but things you share with somebody.
Day 101.
If you replace I have to with I get to, then human life becomes amazing.
Day 102.
You can only truly understand what home is when you have to leave it.
Day 103.
Sometimes leaving feels a lot like being left behind.
Day 104.
The universe is most generous when somehow, against all odds, it finds a way of telling you you're seeing something for the last time in your life.
The spaceship flies out into space. Jami's face is pressed against the glass, staring at the planet Earth, as it gets smaller and smaller, until it is no bigger than a snowball.
The aliens notice that Jomny keeps staring out the window, not saying anything at all.
"What is it?" asks the first alien.
"Why are you so quiet?" asks the second alien.
"What are you thinking about?" asks the third alien.
Why are you different?" asks the fourth alien.
Jomny sighs and smiles.
"I am just being happy that I get to feel sad," says Jomny gratefully.
The spaceship recedes further and further into the stars.
"How did you get even more different?" asks the first alien.
"Why are you so different from us?" asks the second alien.
"How did the humans make you even more different somehow?" asks the third alien.
"Why is the floor wet?"
asks the fourth alien.
There's a brief pause.
"Oh no," says Jomny. "My snowball melted."
I always love reading acknowledgments pages in books in the same way that I love sitting through all the movie credits until they're over.
Seeing all the names of people involved in a project can be overwhelming once you start imagining how many full entire lives the project was part of, and how many full entire lives it took to will a project into the world. Even though that always fills me with the feeling of there being too much air in the world for my lungs to breathe in, it also makes me feel like the world is smaller and kinder than I imagine it to be. No thing can come into the world through one person alone, and reading all those names is a testament to the fact that nothing can exist without people. It reminds me that creation needs people, that people need people, and that acts of love cannot happen without entire villages believing in them, supporting them, and holding them up. For putting up with me and for the endless patience, insight, and feedback, Eric Myers, my editor at Harper Perennial. For being my guides through all this, Daniel Greenberg and Tim Wojcik, my agents at LGR Literary. For the audiobook, Suzanne Mitchell for directing and for guiding me through it, Eric Myers for all your feedback, Elisa Cacavella for contributions to the audiobook script, Michael Moss at Soundscape Boston, and Paul Fowley at Common Mode and the HarperCollins audiobook team. For believing in the book and making it a real thing, Catherine, Heather, Jamie, Lady Anna, Milan, Mary, Abby, and everyone at Harper Perennial. For inspiration, feedback, support, and friendship, Sarah, Alex, Chet, Dana, Shock, Lin-Manuel, Clint, Jeffrey and Joseph, Dan, Adam, Kiara, Pep and Phil, Kian and Karina, Nina, Kevin, Wills, Elena, Zach, Matti, Moonhee, Amy, Sam, Tony, Chaewon, Amanda, Ryan, Dennis, Krister, Andrew, Mike, Nick and Ornella, Twitter, and everyone at Twitter and everyone on Twitter, everyone at MIT, everyone at the Berkman Klein Center at Harvard, everywhere I have been able to find a home and every home that would take me. For their advice, Riza, Megan, Oliver, Mara, Alan, Jacob, Frank, Jory, and Avery. For their endless love, support, and opinions. For making me who I am, Mom and Dad. For constantly helping me grow and develop my voice. For being the person I'll always try to make laugh, Chris. For every day, every night, and everything. For making me the luckiest, Elisa. For Elisa, my universe. This is Johnny Sun. This production of Everyone's an Alien When You're an Alien Too, a book, was directed by Suzanne Mitchell and recorded at Soundscape Studios in Boston, engineered by Michael Moss. It was produced by Common Mode, Paul Fowley, technical director. Executive producer, Suzanne Mitchell. Text copyright 2017 by Jonathan Sun. Production copyright 2018 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.